About a year ago, I found myself the homilist at the Vigil Mass of Pentecost. By the way, this talk was given a couple of years ago, but it's kind of been revised a little bit. The way I chose I got that honor is nobody else wanted to do the evening Mass on Pentecost, so I was chosen by default. I'm the low man on the totem pole. I asked myself, what's a vigil and what's Pentecost? You know, it's the stepchild of the Catholic Church. It is, at one point, was considered the second biggest feast in the Church, so that asks you what's the first, Easter, and Christmas was number three. Everybody knows about Christmas, everybody knows about Easter. Pentecost? Now, a vigil is a time when people or group alertly waits and prays. This is a definition in preparation for an event. For example, parents sitting at the bedside of a sick child, hoping the child will get better. College senior waiting at the mailbox for the acceptance letter from his college. Children, the most famous one, children trying to stay awake till Santa comes. More on that later. But nobody likes vigiling. I want it, and I want it now. I want patience, and I want it now. Huh? Nobody wants to wait. Next question is, what is Pentecost, for which we're keeping vigil? Pentecost is identified by a reading from the second chapter of Luke's Acts of the Apostles. We read it morning masses tomorrow. It begins as follows. Mary Ellen, were you going to read that part?
Oh, sure. This reading is Acts 2 from Pentecost Sunday Mass. Acts 2, verses 1 to 11. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together.
Okay. So, and these are, all these readings are on that sheet we gave. You can find them. You have to fiddle around a little bit. But the thing is, Pentecost could not have been invented by the Catholic Church because the apostles were together on the Feast of Pentecost, so it goes before that. Actually, the word Pentecost means the 50th, okay, not 50, but the 50th day in Greek. And the Hebrew equivalent is Shavuot, which means week, or literally weeks of weeks. So if you took a week of weeks, that'd be 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, and end up with 49, and then the Shavuot becomes the 50th day. It was the time of the wheat harvest in Israel and commemorates the giving of the law on Sinai. Okay, the giving of the law on Sinai. If you actually go and read the Exodus, they will identify that there was roughly a 2-month period between the Exodus beginning and them reaching Sinai for the covenant. So this is a big deal for the Jewish people. Mary Ellen, continue, please.
And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as a fire, parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim.
So it's clear an extraordinary event happened to Jesus' followers that would profoundly alter their lives. Before I continue, let's look at an event in the first reading of the Vigil Mass. Would Brother Simon, could you read that first reading, please?
Sure. The whole world spoke the same language, using the same words. While the people were migrating in the east, they came upon a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us mold bricks and harden them with fire." They used bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky, and so make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered all over the earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the people had built. The Lord said, if now, while they are one people, all speaking the same language, they have started to do this, nothing will later stop them from doing whatever they presume to do. Let us then go down there and confuse their language, so that one will not understand what another says. Thus the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the speech of the world. It was from that place that he scattered them all over the earth.
Thank you, brother. This is called a transitional passage. You got to get to Noah, from Noah, to all these people on the earth. This is the transitional passage. It does it. So some people are migrating. They found a nice level plain. They said, it's a good place to build a city. So let's build a city. Let's build a big building up into the heavens. Let's make a name for ourselves. We'll show that we're the real McCoy. We're the real thing. They didn't need God anymore. Arrogant. Yahweh came down and said, ha, ha, ha. You think you got it all figured out? Well, I'll figure it out so you all start speaking different languages. And you won't be able to talk to each other how the builder's going to figure out the build. Pretty clever. Gee, that's interesting. Say God, pretty clever, huh? And they're scattered over the earth. Now, Mary Ellen, could you read that next section?
Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language.
Okay. Now notice we said these were devout people. They believed in God. Swear, reverse Babel. Huh? People of different cultures and languages are able to understand each other. Just saw, took a nice lady, I knew, don't tell my wife, no. Took a nice lady to see a show about an early American called Hamilton. And it was in rap. Sort of like going to a play in another language, but you knew Joe, did you understand everything that was going on? Yeah, you knew what was going on. So people were able to understand each other largely through the action of the Holy Spirit. These two stories are in direct contrast. In Babel, we have the people of the world talking but not understanding. Thousand years, nothing has changed. Go listen to the talk radio or television show. Plenty of people talk, they talk, they babble. But keep in mind, people plan, God laughs. On the other hand, in Pentecost, we have people and nations understanding each other perfectly. In the very next line of the story, we have Peter standing up and explaining the assembly, God's plan for humanity, nothing has changed. While Peter's successor, Pope Francis, speaks, his words seem to attract the attention of both Protestant and Catholic Christians. Protestant and Orthodox Christians, many of whom live extraordinary, exemplary lives, often differ in not only theology, but questions of morality. Even though they're divided, they look to Francis to see what he has to offer a fractured humanity. There are many examples of the Spirit's actions in the Hebrew Scripture. In the second reading from the vigil of the book of Exodus, we have Yahweh giving the law to Moses and the Jewish people. Now remember, the Jewish feast of Pentecost did commemorate the giving of the Ten Commandments. Note the vivid language. Now this reading, I'm not going to read or have read. I will tell you where it is. It's reading number 2 in here, and it's the giving of the law, and you can read it on your own if you wish. But I'd like to tell you what the key things are. Thunder and lightning, a heavy cloud over the mountain. Mount Zion was wrapped in smoke, but Yahweh had come down upon it. This vivid language is, we say, language that the Holy Spirit's around and doing his thing. Get some smoke and fire going, get the people understanding what's going to happen. I'm not taking no for answer. Get this show going. Here we clearly see God as Yahweh speaking, but we also see the image of God acting as fire with the people. These are the images of the Spirit. A third image of the Spirit is presented in the third reading of the vigil from the book of Ezekiel. Now, I had assigned this to somebody. I'm not exactly sure.
To me.
Good. David, would you read that for us, please?
The hand of Yahweh came upon me, and he led me out in the spirit of Yahweh and set me in the center of the plain, which was now filled with bones. He made me walk among the bones in every direction, so that I saw how many they were on the surface of the plain, how dry they were. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones come to life?" I answered, "Lord Yahweh, you alone know that." Then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh.' Thus says the Lord Yahweh to these bones, 'See, I will bring spirit into you that you may come to life. I will put sinews upon you, make flesh grow over you, cover you with skin, and put spirit in you so that you may come to life and know that I am Yahweh. I, Ezekiel, prophesy as I have been told. And even as I was prophesying, I heard a noise. It was a rattling as the bones came together, bone joining bone. I saw the sinews and the flesh come upon them, and the skin cover them, but there was no spirit in them. Then Yahweh said to me, 'Prophesy to the spirit, prophesy, son of man, and say to the spirit, thus says the Lord Yahweh, from the four winds come, O spirit, and breathe into these slain that they may come to life.' I prophesied as he told me, and the spirit came into them. They came alive and stood upright, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They have been saying, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord Yahweh, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them, and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am Yahweh, when I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people. I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am Yahweh. I have promised, and I will do it, says Yahweh."
David, thank you so much. So the people had been exiled from their homeland to Babylon. And the priest, Ezekiel, speaks to them. He shows this big valley with dead, dry bones in it. And he tells them, "Ezekiel, prophesy over the bones." And he did. And you've heard the song, them bones gonna rise again. Well, this is the song that comes out of it. And the bones did come together, and even sinews. And you had people, dead people, but people there. Then Yahweh's command again, Ezekiel prophesies, this time to the spirit. And the spirit came into the dead bodies and they came alive. So here's what the story is. Number one, Israel is going to be brought back to their homeland. And number two, they're going to come back together like the bones came together as a nation again. So this is a prophecy of the restoration of Israel. If anybody wants to take a quick look at it, it's on the... pages. You can take a quick look. We're not going to read the whole thing. It's the epistle. It's on the back side, if you can figure it out. It says epistle on there. And we're not going to read it such as that. But in the letter to the Romans, Paul says that all creation is groaning in labor pains. Not any of the men present here, or nobody that hasn't had a baby, will remember when they went through their mother's womb and had pains doing so. But I guarantee you that anybody that is a mother here will not forget those labor pains and that while they were in agony, they were also very happy because they knew they were going to give birth to a baby. Kind of a mixed metaphor there. We cannot see the great things God has in store for us, but we wait and hope. And the Spirit helps us in our time of sorrow and anxious waiting with groanings that only God our Father can understand. Now, if you take a quick peek at the Gospel, which is right underneath the epistle, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Jews are gathered in Jerusalem, and it's a seven-day feast, and it's accompanied by them bringing water from this pool. They bring the water in buckets up to this area where they're celebrating, and there's all kinds of lights over there. It's a beautiful, it was described for me by a theology teacher that actually saw this in the land of Israel. I'm not sure they still do it, but he saw the location. It's a beautiful thing, but they're worried about water. I'd be worried about water too. You don't have water, you're gonna be dead pretty quickly. We need water to drink. Got up, took a nice shower this morning. Want to use it to bathe, get clean. Water to irrigate the crops. And they knew it was important. Well, what's important here is Jesus got up and, see, they're praying for rain. And Jesus got up at the festival on the last day and said that living waters would flow from within him, from Jesus himself. These waters refer to the Spirit whom Jesus would send to the church after he'd returned to the Father. The Spirit would quench the spiritual thirst of believers better than any earthly waters. So, again, the last thing I have to say, if I can hear this. We Christians also observe Pentecost. It's the 50th day of our Easter celebration, not 50 days after, the 50th day. So Easter number one, Pentecost number 50 tomorrow. On that first Pentecost, the community of Jesus increased from about 100 to over 3,000. Today, our Catholic Church numbers about 1 billion, but the world numbers 7 billion. So, and most of those, and almost 1 billion are chronically malnourished. Close to 100 million people are refugees driven from their homes by war and terrorist actions. So the church has increased, but so have the needs of the human community. Now, there is a fourth reading. I'm going to ask Veronica, would you please read that reading for us?
Thus says Yahweh, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, even upon the servants and handmaids. In those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will work wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, at the coming of the day of Yahweh, the great and terrible day. Then everyone shall be rescued who calls on the name of Yahweh. For on Mount Zion there shall be a remnant, as Yahweh has said, and Jerusalem survivors of Yahweh shall call.
Okay. Little quick aside here. There was a young lady whose name was Joan Irene, the last name is anonymous to protect the guilty, and entered the convent and took the name Jo Marie. Later on, when the nuns of her order resumed their secular, their name of their birth hymnal's name, that lady resumed to Joan, but she did not resume Irene. She kept the part of her religious name, Marie. So she became Sister Joan Marie. She left the convent and then became Joan Marie Byer. She's sitting over there. So anyway, but she knew that because she took the name Joel, that it was talking about the coming down of the power of God. Yes. And she loves that reading. She asked me, let somebody else read it today. The words struggle with, but she loves that reading. The reading has, and by the way, the other person I loved was Martin Luther King. He started a lot of his rallies with this reading. Young men will have visions, old men will dream dreams, yeah. Now, Joe is referring, for us now is the time Joe is referring to. We need to call upon Yahweh that we may be saved. We need to be saved from our own selfishness and sin to serve God and build up the human community. I didn't know this. There are 10 million millionaires in the United States of America alone. And many of those are Christians or others who are using their resources to eliminate human misery. And if you don't believe so, Bill and Melinda Gates are marvelous people. They work very hard. You don't not agree with them, but their spirit is certainly good. And there's other millionaires who use their millions to create for themselves a lavish lifestyle. And I mentioned earlier, children keeping vigil. He's coming, you think Santa will come tonight for Santa Claus, huh? An elaborate such vigil was portrayed by Tom Hanks and company in a film called The Polar Express. A young boy takes a train trip to the North Pole and learns the necessary of doing something. What did the conductor give to the little boy? Remember, what word was his word?
Believe.
Believe. But I can't. But I can't see it. That's right. If you can see it, no need to believe. But he told the boy, very spiritual film. Very spiritual film. Just as a young boy, we all need to take the time to dream dreams about what the earth could be like if humanity would cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Just think, if we all got together, so I don't agree with you, but let's figure something we could, and let's do something. Mother Teresa got a band of ladies, and look what she did. But they said, well, why don't you do this instead? And she had an answer, not my job. Why don't you do that one? I'm doing my job. But if we all were part of the solution, just dream the dream of what could be done. So, we need to dream about what we ourselves could do to help bring about such a dream. We need to do some dreaming. And then, we actually need to get out and do it. All of us, whether our resources are great or meager, must do our part. Guided by the Spirit, to share with those in need our time, our talent, and our treasure. So you leave here today, get going. Start dreaming.